Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk proudly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way of with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorner delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. I pray that you might give us liberty to preach, wisdom to preach, an unction to preach. I pray, O God, that you might open the ear and the heart and the understanding of the hearer, that the Word of God might find good ground and take root. Lord, help us, I pray, to bring honor and glory to thy great name. Help us to be a blessing to thy people. And Lord, we pray for this young man, Dylan Starnes. Pray that while he's incarcerated, he might learn a lesson. Lord, that would change the course of his life. Lord, I pray that you might have your way in his life, that he might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll bring you a message this morning entitled, with whom hast thou cast thy lot? Several weeks ago, and I don't know why, you never know why things catch your eye, you just know that they do. I noticed a man and a woman, they were middle age, maybe upper middle age, 50s, thereabouts. And they were pretty poorly dressed. They were unkept looking. They were working. She was working as hard as he was. They were laboring together in a particular endeavor. And it just popped into my head. She cast her lot with this guy. His lot and her lot are the same lot, you know. What befalls him is going to befall her. And I got to thinking about that thing, and a lot of the things I thought I had to throw away. Well, that's the way thought processes are, you know. You have to pick and choose. You have to weed a little. But that's what thinking is all about. Thinking is not accepting everything that you hear or see at face value. And so I've spent some time thinking about it. I want to share with you this morning some of my thoughts on this subject. With whom hast thou cast thy lot. Now, I want to point out a couple of things in chapter 1 there before we actually get to the message to kind of set the stage. Get things lined up so you know exactly where I'm coming from, because I only have one point. It's just going to take me a long time to do it. Now, you notice there in chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, the purpose of the Proverbs. They're not just a collection of writings for the sake of writing. The Proverbs are a collection of wisdom to help the reader or the hearer. The idea in collecting the Proverbs, these little sayings of wisdom, these bits of wisdom, is so that the people who read it or the people who hear it read gain something from it that benefits them. It's so that you can have more understanding. It's so that you can be wiser. It's so that you can live your life without making certain mistakes or falling into certain dangers. The Proverbs are given for one reason, to help us. That's what they're for. Then in verse 3, you notice, or verse 3 through verse 7, that you can tell a wise man from a fool by how he receives and responds to the Proverbs. When the Proverbs are read, when they're understood, when they're read individually or read aloud, when those bits of wisdom come within our purview where we can grasp them, think about them, analyze them, we have to respond to them. You will respond, whether you want to or not. You will respond in some way. You will either say, that's wise, that's prudent, that's the way I should behave. There's certainly truth in that, and you respond to it. You accept it, and you let that thing influence your course of action. Or you look at it and say, it may be so, but I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. That may be right, that may be the best way, but that's not the way I've chosen. I'm going to follow my own wisdom. I'm going to lean to my own understanding. Now that's the difference between a wise man and a fool. A wise man hears instruction and listens to it and tries to go by. A fool hears the same wisdom, hears the same understanding, but disregards it. Amen? All right. Now, in verse 10, there's an admonition to a young man, and he says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And so he said, don't go with the sinners. Don't go with the people who are in opposition to God. Don't go with the people who don't follow after righteousness. Why not? Because they are fools. They have disregarded and made of none effect the wisdom and counsel of the Almighty. And anybody who opposes God and resists God is ultimately a fool. Amen. So sinners have already set their course in opposition to Almighty God. A wise man sees that and he doesn't follow the sinner. The fool says, oh, they're cool. I like what they're doing. They're having such great fun. They're going to increase in riches and goods. And I'll pursue them. I'll follow them. I'll cast my lot among them. He said, don't do that because those men are fools. It only looks like they're going to prosper. In the end, they will not. Then in verse 15, it's obvious there in the context that these sinners, these men who lie in wait for blood, who want to take from others, who have made the gaining of this world's goods their number one priority, are the agents of their own destruction. They didn't have to do that. They had, they say these days, options. They had the same wisdom. They had the same presentation. They had the same proverb. They had the same access to understanding that the wise man had. He just made a different choice. And now his destruction is the result of his own choices. So in effect, he has destroyed himself. God didn't do it to him. Can't blame God for it. God put it all out there, and the wisdom is available to one and all. It's the fact that some people choose to reject it. It's their decisions, their course of action is what destroyed them. Now, I said those things to lay a foundation for the parable that he gives. And of course, in the passage, he's talking to this young man. He says, "Consent, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And he says, here's what they say. This is how they try to entice. It all looks so good. They said there and there in verse, what is it, 6 or 7? It's 13, verse 13. Might have known to be a 13. "We shall find all precious substance. We will fill our houses with spoil. Cast thy lot in with us. We'll have the best life. Cast thy lot in with us. We'll get rich. Cast thy lot in with us. We'll have fun. We'll find all precious substance." Now, we could digress right there on verse 13 to what that phrase, "all precious substance." Ladies and gentlemen, let me declare emphatically and unequivocally, there is no such thing as precious substance. Do you know why? You can't keep it. You can use it for a little while, but tain't yourn. Amen. All these folks say, "I've got this and I've got that." Not for long. Amen. "Well, I've got all this money. I've got silver and gold." You know what Proverbs or Ecclesiastes said about that? He said, and what value is there, what good is there in silver to him that hath it, but the beholding of it with his eyes? It's all vanity. You can't hang on to it. You're going to have to give it up. So the idea that there's any such thing as precious substance is a myth. It's vanity. The things in life that are precious are character, integrity, salvation. See? Those are precious. But substance, gold, silver, a house, a car, you got to be joking me, right? So, in the story, these sinners try to entice this young man to throw in his lot with them, and they will have a common pot. And whatever befalls the one will befall the other. And they will share everything equally. Now, that's always a myth. Amen. I don't believe in sharing equally. I always want the lion's share. And everybody I know wants the lion's share. You know what that does? That makes us fight over it. Barack Obama needs to understand that. He would understand human nature a lot better. I could give him a 3-minute course in human psychology. It would improve his whole outlook on life. Now, the narrative here is about this young man who is enticed, and he is being warned to resist and to flee. That's good admonition. And that's basically the essence of the story. We could elaborate on individual points, but that's the essence of the thing. Here's what I thought, though. It said, "Cast in thy lot with us." And I looked at that man and that woman who had cast their lots together. For better, for worse, for rich or poor, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's what you do when you get married. You cast your lot with the other. You're supposed to have a common fate, a common life. Now, lot, your lot in life. Everybody understands how that works, right? There are a couple of synonyms for lot. One of the synonyms is fate. They had a common fate. They suffered a common lot. Another synonym for lot is destiny. Those words, a synonym is a word that means the same thing, but is spelled differently. So you've heard people talk about casting their lot. They may have used a different word, but meant the same thing. It means putting your future into a common objective or a common pot or a common plot with somebody else. Amen? And that is the context of the story that we just read. I thought about this. There are a number of places, and there are a number of ways in which every one of us cast our lot in with another. The 1828 says, for the definition of the word lot, that by which the fate of one is determined. I thought, where are the areas in which we cast our lot? You see, to cast your lot with another implies there's a choice on your part. You decide to do this. So you didn't cast a lot when you were born. The lot was cast for you. You had no control over that. But he said, cast in thy lot with us. That means your lot is not in that pot. And you've got to look at it, think about it, analyze it, make a determination, a choice, and then take an action. You have to cast it in. It doesn't start out being in. You have to put it in. So, under the guidelines of the passage, we have to look at things in our life where we decide where we cast our lot. There's a lot of things you ought to think about before you cast your lot. How's this thing going to work out? Where will it end? Down what path will it take me? How will I fare in the end? What's the probability of success and failure if I cast my lot here? Now, most time we don't do that. We just look at something and we like it and we go for it. Young people get married these days. They don't think about, I'm casting my lot with this person till death do us part. And are they going to be a good provider? Will he be abusive? Will she be a good wife? Will she be responsible? Will she raise my children? We don't think about that stuff. You know what we think about? She's pretty. Oh, she's pretty. I told Jordan this morning, I said, you sure made that Mustang look good. You know what? Because she's just pretty. But you can't marry her just because she's pretty. I mean, what if you married somebody who's pretty and they're dumber than a brick? And you got to live with them forever. And they never understand one thing you're talking about because everything you say is over their head. That'd be hell on earth, wouldn't it? Some of y'all not shaking your head because you think you're there. So let me give you a couple of these. We're going somewhere. There's a method to my madness. We cast our lot in education. Amen. Now I'm not talking about every aspect of education, but generally speaking, we decide where we're going to go to school, especially in higher education. We check out all the colleges, we see what programs are available. How many benefits we can get? Are there any scholarships? You know, that kind of stuff. And then we decide which one we'll take. It's always nice, you know, if you're bright enough and got a grade point average where you have multiple choices. That'd be such a wonderful thing, you know. I always felt sorry for the kid. He just takes whatever he can get. You find them working at the clinics around town. These urgent care places. I always figure that's the guys that became a doctor that went to a school. They went to the school at the bottom of the totem pole because that's the only one they could get in, and they finished last in the class. Because if there's a real doctor, they'd be working for a big practice somewhere, belong to a hospital. They're in them urgent care things because they're D-minus students. Anyway, that's probably not true, you know. It's just that's my analysis. But we make a choice about where we're going to get our education. I read a thing not long ago. This fellow was looking for a college. He was a senior. He had a pretty good grade point average. And he was an athlete, which is always a plus. You know, you can get in any school. You can have bad academics if you can play football or basketball. So this guy is looking for college. His number one criteria, he checked all the colleges around. And the first thing he checked was to see how they rated as a party school. Then he checked the sports program. Then he checked to see what the percentage of male and female was. And last but not least, he checked to see if they had any academics. That's how you determine where you go to school these days. I said, Lord, have mercy. Ain't no wonder we're in the mess we're in, son. We're looking for all the wrong things. But it's our choice. And that choice can affect the way you think and the positions you take. A college education can influence you in politics. It can influence you in all kinds of things. Amen. Now, there are students who rise above their college, but they have a fight on their hands. Amen. Not only do we cast our lot in with a particular education, and it seems like when we cast our lot in with education, it's a lifelong thing. You know, they become our alma mater and all that stuff, and we've got to support them the rest of our lives. Some guy goes to Clemson, and he's going to be stuck with that tag, that demeaning footprint, forever. When he could have chosen USC. Be careful on the choices you make. Be careful where you cast your lot. It may follow you to the grave. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if somebody said, where did you go to college? And you had to say, Clemson. I don't have anything against Clemson. I just like to aggravate them. I hate orange is what it is. Number two. We cast our lot in our recreation. Now, I have a lot of things under the heading of recreation. Hobbies, sports, any number of things. And the reason I put that in the list is because we spend a great deal of time and money in pursuit of our recreation, in pursuit of our hobbies. We spend vast sums of money. We spend tons and tons of time. We have to have, you know, I mean, if you're going to be anything anymore, you got to go the whole way. Americans, I don't even know why we bother to make plain Jane anything. Ain't no American going to buy it. Amen. If you go out here and there's a little car that sells for $9,000, but it's got black wall tires and plain white paint and cloth upholstery and it's stick shift and no air conditioning and no goodies and no XM radio, the guy driving it will be from some other country. Because all the Americans wanted that little tiny car because it was cheap, but they wanted it with air conditioning, with AM, FM radio, with a 6 CD changer, with mag wheels, with a turbocharger, with a 6-speed transmission. Now, you might have an American driving that. So he can brag about he's being fuel conscious and buying an economy car. But that $9,000 car cost him $27,000. Listen, the reason I put in recreation is because in recreation, when you decide to do certain things, normally you have to do it in conjunction with other people. If you we were in the mountains a few months ago, and they were having a car convention. It was Packards. Packards. When was the last time you saw a Packard? They had the whole street in Gatlinburg lined with Packards. So we got out and looked because I love Packards. I'm a Packard kind of guy. Hudson's, Packards, and 49 and 50 Mercury's. I like that. And so we get out looking around, and every weirdo you can imagine is there. They own their Packards. Here's some old geezer, man, he's gray-headed, and he's got his hair down to here, got a little rubber band around it here, you know. Got on an old gray beard, ain't shaved or shaped up, and he's walking around in sweat breeches. I would outlaw them things. I'd outlaw them. You couldn't bury your dog in sweat breeches if it was up to me. But and you talk to these guys, they're from outer space somewhere, man. I'm serious, a heart attack. People that buy Packards and restore them and go from convention to convention to convention to show off the same old car. Dragging a wife around that looks older than the car. My soul, man. Now, if you got a Packard, you got to join one of them clubs. You got to cast in your lot with that crew. That's scary, is it not? You got to be careful where you cast your lot. Now, you know, tell them what kind of weird folks you get tied up with. Need to be careful where we cast our lot in friendship. And I see you knew I'd get serious sooner or later, didn't you? Preacher friend of mine says, you are now, or you soon will be, what your friends are. You better be careful where you cast your lot. You better be careful. Because you are now, or you soon will be, what your friends are. You know why they're your friends? Because you like what they do. You like where they go. You like what they listen to. You like how they talk. You like how they dress. If there wasn't something about them you liked, you wouldn't be there. So you already have a weakness, a proclivity to their lifestyle. And given enough time, if you hang with them, they seem normal, and you begin to adjust and adapt to them. And sooner or later, you will be what your friends are. You pick sorry, low-life friends, you end up being pretty sorry and low-life most of the time. You say, well, there's exceptions. There's always an exception. But remember this, the exception to the rule proves the rule. It doesn't overthrow the rule. You better watch them friends. Christian friends too. Amen. Cast in we cast our lot in with an employer or in a business relationship. This is a choice we make. And our fate, our destiny, is in large measure tied up in that decision. You cast your lot with a certain company, trusting that they'll prosper, that they'll be able to pay you, that they'll have a 401k for you, there'll be some kind of retirement program. Hopefully that works out. But there are no guarantees on that anymore. Amen? You better be careful where you cast your lot. When it comes to your livelihood, you got a wife to take care of, children to take care of. Maybe you're a single woman or a single mother. You've got children to take, you've got responsibilities. But you're going to have to cast your lot with somebody because you need a job, you need an income, and you better be careful where you throw it because you don't know where it'll lead you and you don't know how long it'll last. Now, you might understand by now that I'm trying to provoke you to use your head, to think about things before you jump into it. Lord, in my life, I'm 67 years old. There are a number of things. If I had taken the time to think about it, I would have never cast my lot there. I'd have never done it. Now, we cast our lot in marriage. This is a big decision. I wish I could get young people to understand that the person you date is not the person you marry. When I dated my wife, I behaved myself. Man, I used to spend Saturdays. I had a little 60 MG. It was red convertible. Had them two side draft carburetors. Oh, I loved that little car. I could spend an entire day polishing it and shining it and vacuuming it and waxing it and tuning it and adjusting it and just filling it up. I mean, that thing shined like new money. Then it'd be about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, be supposed to pick her up at 7. I'd go to the shower. I could spend an hour in the shower. I showered by the hour. I get that Lavoris. Now, I don't know what boys and girls use these days, but buddy, when I was a teenager, Lavoris was the thing. For one thing, it didn't taste near as bad as that Listerine. I was afraid if you used Listerine, you'd end up being an alcoholic or something, you know. So we use Lavoris. And then, that's 30 minutes before you go. And then just before you get to her house. Put on your best clothes. Shine your car. Take a shower. Comb your hair. Brush your teeth. Lavoris. Go pick up your sweet thing. Amen. I'd say, sweetheart, where you want to go? Now, for the amount of money I had, she could only go one place. But I'd say, where do you want to go? And let her make decisions and stuff, you know, and ask her opinion.
Well, that's bad.
That's what I'm saying. The person you date is not the one you marry. And the girls are always saying, no, you decide. Lord, that's the last time I ever heard that. I'm not going to tell you what replaced it. We put on our best front. We put our best foot forward. If we got any manners, that's when we use them. If we have any courtesy, that's when we show it. So what are you trying? I'm trying to win her. Now I get that ring on her finger. We got them I do. She's legally trapped. I mean bound. I don't have to be so doggone nice anymore. Amen. Then you find out what a slob you married, what a jerk he is, now inconsiderate. Then you find out he won't work. And all that stuff he told you about, buying you a house and a picket fence and putting you in a new car and buying you new dresses from Sears and Roebuck was just talk. Because he spends all of his money buying fishing poles and motorcycles and shotguns. You're sitting at home, three babies. One on the floor, one on the hip, one in the hanger. I remember when my last child was born, I was in the Navy. And I told my superior I needed to take off and go home. My wife was fixing to have a baby. And he said, son, he said, you have to be there to lay the keel, but you don't have to be there to launch the ship. But he's so handsome. He's so cool. She's so pretty. Boy, did you see the way she's built? Yeah. You see her walk into the wall? Dumber than a red brick. You want to cast your lot in with that for the rest of your life? You better be careful. Cast thy lot in with... You better be careful. We cast our lot in politics. Now, 2/3 of America think they have not cast their lot in politics. If there's anything I hate to hear anybody say is I'm an independent. Man up! Get in the fight! Be a Democrat or a Republican. Or, libertarian. Be something! Don't be a nothing! I hate non-denominational churches. You mean a preacher doesn't believe anything? Well, if he believes anything, he'll fit in somebody's group. Non-denominational. Nonsense. Be something. You heard the story about the little mouse? And he's walking through the woods, and he had pinned him some wings on because he wanted to be a bat. And he went to everybody and he said, look at me, I'm a bat. And I said, get out of here, you're a mouse. He went to his mama, he went to his dad, and everybody just run him off. So he's walking through the woods, and he's all slumped over, and this great big bat is sitting there. And he said, hey, little buddy, where are you going? I don't know. He said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a mouse. You're a mouse? He said, you got wings. I'm a mouse. And the big bat said, to be a mouse is one thing, a silly and a dumb thing, but you're a nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing but a nothing. I hate people that are nothing. Have an opinion. Be something. Are you a Republican, a Democrat, or a Libertarian? I mean, I don't care which one you are, but be something. Cast your lot somewhere. There's people that think they're nothing. You've cast your lot. But I can't talk about politicians and politics, so I'm not going to tell you what you are. See me after church. When I'm off payroll. Do you know we cast our lot in with our religion? Religious people cast their lot. You decide, subjectively or however, that certain denomination best suits your belief system. Amen. Now, I can't be a Pentecostal holiness. I think a lot of them folks are saved. They're good people. I'm not being ugly. But I just don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't think the Bible believes in speaking in tongues. And I know Jesus doesn't speak in tongues because every time he talked to me, I understood what he said. I can't be a Lutheran. That's just not my cup of tea. I just don't believe that some man can forgive my sins. Amen. I can't be an Episcopalian. That's just a pope without a Catholic. Amen. I can't be Church of Christ. Because I don't believe getting baptized in water gives you a spiritual new birth. I don't believe getting in the city water system washes you in the blood of the Lamb. I don't believe that. Right? I'm not being ugly. It's free country. You believe anything you want to. And you can cast your lot wherever you want to. But you've got to cast it somewhere. Amen. Now, all religious people cast their lot with a denomination. Then, sooner or later, you will cast your lot with a local congregation. Unless you're one of them phonies that say, well, you know, I just don't believe in organized religion. I just don't think you've got to go to church to be a Christian. Well, and you've demonstrated with both those statements that, son, you don't think at all. Amen. You're welcome. That's free. If you don't believe in organized religion, what do you believe in? Disorganized religion? Let me ask you, people who don't believe you need to go to church and be a part of a group and make a contribution and work and labor therein and support it, what have they ever accomplished for the glory of God? Ever sent a missionary to the foreign field? Ever build a church house? Ever open an orphanage? Ever build a hospital? They do nothing. When they say, I don't believe you need to belong to a church. I don't believe in organized religion. That's just a cheap cop-out to keep from doing anything. I'm a Baptist. I have cast my lot with the independent Baptist. I can narrow that down some. I have cast my lot with the independent King James only Baptist. I believe that book that you got in your hand and the one I preach out of, I believe that is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, good for English-speaking people until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our church charter thing back there says that we as Baptists believe that that book is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. I believe that. And because of those things that I believe, I can't be some other things. Because they don't believe that. Amen. You need to cast in your lot with a denomination, then you ought to find a local church and cast your lot with them. And say, I'm going to work and labor for Jesus Christ right here. Do you agree with everything? I've never been in a church in my life where I agree with everything, including this one. Sometimes I argue with myself. Well, I question my motives. I certainly question yours. But this is the best I can find. This is where I'm going to hang my hat. I'm going to let my fate overtake me right here. My destiny is going to have to arrive here at King James Baptist Church. This is where I've cast my life. I'm casting in with you guys. And we either get something done for God or we don't. We stand for the book or we don't. But this is where I've cast my lot. And we're going to have a common fate and a common destiny about some things. Amen? Where have you cast yours? Now let me ask you this, and I'll close. All that was a prelude to get to this one thing. With whom have you cast your lot for eternity? There are two options. You cast it with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you cast it with the devil. Your lot is in one basket or the other. You say, well, I've never made a choice. Then the choice has been made for you. You are with the devil. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. I know where your lot's at. Your lot is with the devil. And your eternity will be spent with the devil. Here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. Even if your lot is presently with the devil, you can choose to cast it with the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have to die and go to hell. You do not have to spend eternity without God. You do not have to face your sin. You can be washed in the blood, born again, quickened by His Spirit, adopted into His family, and become a child of the King. The choice is yours. Just choose where you will cast your lot. Your choice. Now, if I could make that choice for you, I'd take everybody's lot and I'd throw them in the same basket. But you got to do it yourself. Let me ask you this morning, as simply and as straightforward as I know how. I know you're all Baptists, you're here. I know you've chosen King James Baptist Church, you're here. What I don't know is, for sure, I know what you say. What I don't know for sure is, have you cast your lot for eternity? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now is the accepted time. If you harden not your heart, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Jesus said, and all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Salvation is available. Jesus stands with outstretched arms. The Holy Spirit is willing and ready to baptize you into the body of Christ and give you a new birth. You just have to decide where you're going to cast your lot. Let's buy it. Miss Jordan, why don't you come play this morning? She's going to play "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. I come. We won't sing this morning. Just every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you. There's a distress in your mind. There's a lack of quietness and peace in your soul. If you can ask yourself, where have I cast my lot? And it does not clearly land with Jesus Christ. Maybe you ought to make that choice today. Say, I choose Jesus and I choose life. I cast my lot with the Creator of heaven and earth. My choice, and I freely choose eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come? If you're here and you're saved, you've cast your lot in with the Baptist, and you further cast your lot with King James Baptist Church, maybe we ought to make a fresh commitment to work and labor and to pray for and support this church, that it might reach out to this community. Tell men and women, boys and girls, come, cast thy lot with us. Mercy. I pray, O God, that every man, every woman in this building has made a choice, and they've decided to cast their lot for all of time and all of eternity with Thee. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.